This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Pope Zaza. Seth Payne, hello, my friend. How are you?
Let's whoop it, Sean. Got a lot of stuff going on.
BITW, baby.
Big
best
doings.
In the world. Yep.
Rockets did the right thing, which was to snap a win streak so they don't put too much stress on themselves. The Cougs do what they do, which is make it to yet another Sweet 16.
Yeah.
The Texans, they signed Trent Brown. All of those three
spin
things
the wheel,
equally significant.
Spin the wheel. Well, and Cam, and we'll get into this in deeper detail at 7 o'clock, but Cam Smith is still a Houston Astro right now. He's not a Sugarland Space Cowboy or a Corpus Christi Hook at this point.
Yeah. So I was joking about the Trent Brown significance. Cam Smith, very, very significant.
Yeah.
And also notable, John Singleton not going to be on the roster. So I don't know, probably potentially closes the chapter. He'll be back at some point.
You think?
Yeah, he'll always be back. He's going to be 57 years old at some point, and all of a sudden late in the season, John Singleton will be back as a DH.
His wife tweeted last night, and this is where the cowboy rides away, is what she tweeted. That was all.
Really?
Dot. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
I wonder if he's just going to call it a career.
I don't know. It would be a shame for him to completely waste the offseason workout regimen that he went through on just a subpar spring training and then calling it a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding. Or maybe he's going to be a fitness influencer.
Okay.
Dude, I'll tell you what. You have him do a couple of videos, how I lost 40 pounds and gained muscle mass. Boom.
Beats a minor league baseball salary. And that's for real. It beats a minor league baseball salary.
100%.
Yeah.
That was the big thing this weekend. The one fit guy with his morning routine of splashing his face in ice water and then rubbing them with banana peels. That guy probably made $2 million
probably,
this weekend.
So
John Singleton, same thing. Just become a fitness influencer. What if she was just randomly watching some Netflix series that dirty black bag or something, and that was she was just giving her comment about watching the last episode of this series.
It could be, except she's pretty, as spouses and significant others go, she's pretty vocal on there about the baseball stuff.
She knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. That. She's got the better chance of being some sort of influencer than he does, probably.
Yeah.
So where to start here? The two basketball teams, and if we're going to pick a basketball team here locally that has a winning streak snapped, better it be the Rockets than the Cougs, because the Cougs' winning streak getting snapped would end the season. We don't need that. They're in the Sweet 16. Sweet 16.
That's how it works for the uninitiated.
Yeah, for those who don't know.
It's a single elimination
one and
tournament,
done.
Folks.
Yep.
No consolation round.
One and done. Six straight years in the Sweet 16. That's not easy, man. And I know he's had the better team probably in all those Sweet 16s than the teams he's playing. But to get through the first weekend of March Madness, six straight years in a row, you know, the one event that is built around upsets, although this year it's been very, very light on upsets, a lot of chalk this year. But kudos to Kelvin Sampson, man. And they got dealt They got dealt probably the toughest 8-9 game of any of the one seeds. Like, Gonzaga's no joke.
Yeah, Gonzaga's underseeded.
Yeah.
That was, now they're not the Gonzaga of, you know, your normal, you know, normally once a year you tune in and you're like, oh yeah, Gonzaga, I know exactly where
they're
that
two,
is geographically.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. But they're always there. Yeah, that, they're not quite a classic Gonzaga team, obviously, but that
good.
Was... Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna say the Cougs got hosed or anything because they did what they had to do.
They beat them.
Withstood a little bit of a surge there at the end, but
yep.
For the most part, by and large, under control the whole time.
I was happy with the surge at the end because I had Gonzaga +5, so I got a push. So
oh,
I was
okay
with that. I was okay with that. I wanted the Cougs to win, but I thought the Zags would cover. The Rockets are a different story. Now I don't want to get too upset because it is a 9-game winning streak that just ended. They've won a bunch of games in a row, but man, last night was a massive missed opportunity. You know, this is cool. Like, they're playing meaningful games here in late March. Like, that's a meaningful.
Yeah.
Denver is the team that's chasing you in the standings right now. You're the 2 seed. This 9-game winning streak has put them all alone in the 2 seed, and you had Denver at home last night. No Nikola Jokic, so they're missing their best player, and. Not only do you lose, but you lose in a way where it's like you jumped out to a 13-4 lead, and you guys are walking off the court after the first time out, kind of laughing and chuckling. It felt like maybe this is a game they're going to take care of business, and then Jamal Murray just went nuts, and they had no answer for him. Their shooting stunk; they couldn't shoot all night. They got out rebounded, which is a big deal. The Rockets typically a pretty good rebounding team, but a massive.
They got out rebounded in the first 3 quarters, which is the big thing. They got it back in the fourth quarter, but it just wasn't. And then they were missing their shots when they did get offensive rebounds.
Yeah,
so the. Usually the rebounding alone is all I care about with this team, the offensive rebounding. They're a bad shooting team, but they were particularly bad in the first 3 quarters.
Yeah, they made a run in the fourth quarter at this game to make it 103-97. I mean, they were trailing by anywhere from 10 to 15 points for big chunks of the second half. They cut it to 103-97, and then they had 3 straight empty possessions, and they had great looks. They had 2 wide-open threes. They went 0-for-5 in this sequence of a few possessions. And then Jamal Murray makes a bucket. It's 105-97, and the Nuggets kind of steer the ship into the shore. But it was disappointing because the missed opportunity was, if they win that game, Seth, they're all alone in the 2 seed with a 3-game gap between them and the rest of that pack right there, which includes the Nuggets, with 10 games to go. And with a pretty favorable patch of schedule coming up for the next 5 games, their last 5 games of the year are very difficult. The next 5 games are not all that difficult. So you'd have been up 3 games with 10 to go and a chance to really kind of cement yourself as the 2 seed. Obviously, nobody's catching OKC, but you could have made it to where it's going to be hard for anybody to catch you at the 2 seed, which makes all those games that you blew earlier in the year completely irrelevant, because you could win all of those. You were never catching OKC.
Yeah.
So the best you were ever going to do was the 2 seed. So that's disappointing. So now it's a 1-game lead. Denver has the tiebreaker over you as well. That was big last night. So the Rockets are going to make us sweat this a little bit, apparently.
Sean, this is a team that's so far surpassed expectations, yet at the same time, consistency has been the thing that's held them back in a lot of ways. And I'd rather them being in a fight right now and like losing 1 game after a 9-game win streak. Sure, that's going to happen. You miss an opportunity without Jokic in there. But I saw a big Lakers account. I think it was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at first maybe it's a troll, but it was a big Lakers account that said the Rockets don't deserve to be the 2 seed. And I immediately got triggered. That thing which I've been trying hard not to do. I got triggered as hell, because what part of basic mathematics do you not understand about the deserving to be the 2 seed or not?
Tell me
more. If the Rockets don't deserve to be a 2 seed,
yeah,
then what the hell do the Lakers deserve? So, they are exactly where they should be, given the way that they've played. If anything, they've underperformed in some respects, despite the fact of surpassing expectations. The fact that they were banged up but also inconsistent in terms of effort and defensive tenacity and whatnot in January and February. I think they're exactly right where they should be. If the rest of the Western Conference would get their crap together, maybe you could say that. And that, you know what? They'd be in the 4 or 5 seed.
Here's where that makes no sense. Was there any follow-up to that, or were they just doing things to trigger people by saying they don't deserve to be the two seed?
I know he was arguing everything, but I got it. I ran away. I don't need that drama.
That's why I'm curious what the reasoning is, because the first thing I would say in response to that would be they've beaten a lot of good teams this year. Their record against good teams. Like, normally when you say that somebody that's higher up in the standings and maybe they feel like they should be is because they're lamb killers. They beat up on bad teams. But when they face a bully, they get punched in the face. Or maybe they are the bully, and then some other team, whoever you want to make the bully in this analogy, go ahead and do it. What I'm saying is that if you're not beating good teams, then I could maybe see that argument. But you're right. In the NBA, it's just math. Like, you are what your record says you are when it comes to your seeding and whatnot. But that's why I'm excited for the postseason, is if this, especially if they have home court advantage in the first round. I think they've got a playoff series winning them, and maybe a little bit more. We'll see. They're still not getting a lot of respect from the odds makers. But by seeding, they're one of the, if you just go by seeding, they're one of the top four teams in the NBA, right? I mean, they're the two seed in the Western Conference, and yet on any odds board, they're down around 10th or 11th right now.
I'll tell you what, though, and that's where I'm just starting to feel like I've got my back against the wall in a lot of ways, in terms of just, I think the nerds in the NBA, or the people who would want to be the gatekeepers for the way basketball is played and whatnot, it's very easy for them to say, well, sure, they get a lot of rebounds and they're scrappy, but they can't shoot, they don't have this, they don't have that. You know what? Sometimes teams outscrap other teams all the way to deep in the playoffs. And now I hope they play with a huge, huge chip on their shoulder throughout the entire playoffs. Yes.
Dude, you had one of the same reactions I did last night when there's no Jokic in this game. And DeAndre Jordan is the starting center for the Denver Nuggets.
How is he still in my life?
I don't know.
What the hell is going on here?
I'm trying to find what year
he's
was.
He's 36 years old. Well, Emoji Gate would have been like 2016, I think.
I feel like
when he was flirting with the Rockets.
No, he was flirting with the Mavericks. Remember that? And Mark Cuban was
the Rockets were in the mix a little bit. Were they?
I don't remember.
And he went dark, and
he was being like sequestered, but he had committed to the Mavericks, but then the Clippers were like, "You're not going anywhere." I got to go back and see when that was, because it feels like it was. I'm not even joking. It feels like it was before I got to 6'10". It feels like it was 2012 or 2013. Like, it was like way back in the day.
It was 2018. Okay, now it's all over the place.
Yeah, it was longer ago than that, I think.
There's an article written in 2018 looking back on Emoji Gate, which was in 2015.
That was 2015. Okay. Okay. So
Center had agreed to sign with the Mavericks, but members of the Lob City version of the Lakers reportedly flew to Houston to change his mind. That's right. Well,
it was the Clippers, I think, he was with at the time, right? You said Lakers.
Yeah. Oh, I did? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. The Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
But that was a Houston connection. Was it DeAndre Jordan was at his mom's house in Houston or whatever, and they flew to Houston trying to track him down. And then there were people driving around the streets trying to catch sight of DeAndre Jordan.
Mark Cuban was reportedly driving around. Yeah, the owner of the team was reportedly
driving.
It started
innocently enough with an airplane emoji from Chandler Parsons, who it turned out wasn't tweeting about going to Houston.
Yeah.
Then Clippers Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick jumped in with an airplane, a helicopter, and an automobile. Chris Paul tweeted out a banana boat sequence of emojis. Paul Pierce was going at it. There was everybody in was all in on DeAndre Jordan.
Dude, think about for DeAndre Jordan. Like, I'm Michael Jordan, DeAndre Jordan. Like, all this hullabaloo was for DeAndre Jordan, who, to my knowledge, he's made one All-Star team. Yeah,
Pretty good. I guess 2016, and it was 2015.
That's pretty good.
I claim victory on that one.
You were closer than I was. Yeah, you were closer than I was. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Man, a lot of stuff we got to get to. We'll get to the Astros and what they do with this roster at the top of the hour. We've got a bunch of headlines to get to. Seth touched on it. The Texans did make a move, and Seth did a little work over the weekend on not the newest tackle, but probably the most pivotal tackle for the Texans. Does he feel better, worse, or about the same after digging in on Cam Robinson? That is coming up next.